took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Well, welcome to another episode, rendition, edition, whichever you want to use for a glorious day. I'm Pastor David. I'm with my great brother.
Pastor Bastian.
Oh, and you are a great brother, by the way.
And you're a great brother, too.
Appreciate your ministry and our working together. And
oh, yeah.
God's done a great brotherhood. We adopted you and your wife.
This is true, people. I have the paperwork to prove it.
Not legally, but, you know, in the heart.
Yeah.
These are folks we're so close, we just adopted Barry and his wife and their dog, even.
Even the dog. And, you know, I really found that heartfelt. And I got to tell you, folks, David and I have been friends for so long, we're beginning to look alike.
I just wish I could be 6'3 instead of 5'8 and a half. That's the only thing, but that's all right. Not a big deal. Anyway, tonight, our theme is, and listen closely, please, get your rest in Jesus. We have a lot of restless Christians out there. We have a lot of Christians weary. Why are you weary? Well, we're going to talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
And my brother's going to read a significant verse from Matthew 11, or two verses, actually, Matthew 11, 28 through 30.
Come to me, all who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The word of the Lord, David.
Amen. It is the word of the Lord.
I find this is just so full of compassion and love when I read this. It just lights me up.
Yeah, well, it should, because it's
like a great invitation.
Jesus speaking to us, you know, a real truth.
Oh, yeah.
That we often don't think. I don't know where I know where I'm coming from or thinking of my spiritual journey, you know, and so I'll speak for myself. But I think my life probably looks like a lot of other Christians' lives. You get saved, and then, you know, you're moving along. You get into the Word, and you're praying, but you know, you're still some things you don't want to let go of, or you're not ready maybe to get edified, you know, about these things that would make your life easier for you.
You mean like yoking?
Like yoking
yeah.
with Jesus, because I love the image coming from, I'm not a farmer, although I do play one on radio.
Oh, yes, you do.
and the Wednesday Live stuff, but that I do know this comes from a day back in that day when they had an oxen, and when the young oxen were able finally to work on plowing the field, they would yoke that oxen with an older, more experienced ox.
Right.
And so there was a double yoke, and the younger one would learn from the older one who was doing most of the work.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Jesus loves to use that, the parabolic side of his teaching, which is images that are so powerful. And so we realize we're yoked with Jesus when we come to him, when we get saved for the first time, and we don't ever break the yoke, you know, that we're always yoked to him, and how powerful that is, because we need that. But even to say that we have to lean on him, you know, we get weary.
We get weary and we carry burdens. And I also look at the fact that when this was first spoken by Jesus Christ, it wasn't in a closed room in a vacuum chamber. There were people listening all around. And in fact, there's probably a few priests or Pharisees listening in too, saying, "Well, why is he doing that?"
Yeah,
they're ours. Those are our people. And I think about the fact that these poor folks that were hearing this, we think we're burdened. Everywhere they looked, they saw a Roman soldier with a sword or a spear.
Yeah,
and they kind of walked around probably trying not to make eye contact, and then they couldn't run to the temple and receive any kind of emotional support or compassion, or, you know, they were hit with a rule book.
Right.
You know,
pretty much, yeah.
So they weren't getting a break in any direction. and along comes Jesus. And the way this is worded from him is just so loving.
Oh, very much so.
He's not saying, you know, buck up, go do a couple of sit-ups and push-ups and get your energy going. No, he's saying, I know that you're exhausted. I know you're at the end of your tether. Come to me.
Amen.
And it's hard, I don't know about you, David, but it's hard, maybe I'm speaking out of school, but it's hard for men to do this, to surrender and take on a yoke. The male pride gets in the way.
Well, yeah.
Some of the men I've talked to about just this, in fact, we had a Bible study at work on this, and the men say, well, it's hard for me to give in and to trust, those two words, to surrender and to trust is what he was saying. But if they knew that the yoke was a good thing and that their struggles in life would be lessened, because if you're pulling with Jesus at your side, you're in a pretty good place.
Yeah,
you're not
absolutely.
You're not managing your own life anymore. You're not making your own decisions based on your puny intellect, even if it's a big intellect. It has nothing. It means nothing. But that I love the way this is put, because let me tell you a quick story. There's a church in town that I was substituting, and it's over there in Jensen.
Mm-hmm. Know it well.
And I was preaching, and a man walked in. Right past me. And you know where you're preaching there, David. You stand right in front of the altar. And
oh, yeah.
He kind of excused himself to walk around me, walked up on the altar, laid on the floor, and held on to whatever he could hold on to and wept. And I gave him his privacy to do that, and we just continued on.
Yeah.
Although I'm sure a lot of people wanted to know what he was saying, because he was up there basically surrendering to Christ right before our eyes. And he didn't need me to get in the way. I did talk to him later on.
Of course, yeah.
But he said he would never do anything like that before, but the urging of the Holy Spirit was something he couldn't resist. And he decided that moment, that day, to give it up as a powerful man, whatever you want to call it, drop all that pride and fall to the floor of the cross.
You know, it sounds like what I was getting when you were sharing that story is, here's the person yoked to Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if young oxen do this with the old teacher oxen.
I don't know.
But to just, you know, tired of pushing, just leaning against Jesus while you're yoked with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe in that, in the spiritual sense, he even invites us to do that, to stop, you know, at some point to stop the hard working, the pushing, the straining, you know, which is often we're doing it on our own, you know, because we think that's what we ought to do, and just lean on Christ and let him do the moving. And this is really kind of what he's saying, you know, when he say, learn from me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes when I say, lean on me, let me do the work, you know, because, I mean, his power is manifested best in our weakness, right?
Amen.
That's what Paul says, and I believe that's true. This is a powerful teaching, especially for men. We're talking to women too.
Oh yeah.
But as a man, you know, I recognized when this verse began to speak to me. I'd been saved for several years, but I was one of these guys. You know, I learned from my mom and dad had their own perfectionism going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and because that's what you learn when you're a kid.
Sure.
That's how to be an adult, is you just work hard, don't notice or don't even appreciate when you've achieved something, because you're already looking past that
to the next thing.
Yep, yep. And so every day ends up being a breathless rush to accomplish things you never stop to appreciate. And the Lord got a hold of me one day. Thankfully, it was before I went to seminary, because that if I'd have carried that burden up there, it wouldn't so bad. But he really taught me to trust him and to lean on him. And to let him, you know, say, even to hear him say, you know, Dave, you're getting weary because you're running ahead of me, and I'm not gonna go where you want to go. Okay, you're not asking me where I want you to go, because if you were, I'd be taking you there.
Right,
you wouldn't be weary. Wow.
As I've spoken about on the program before, I spent about 22 years in medicine, in the critical care units in a large county hospital. And one of the most uncomfortable rooms in the building was the surgical intensive care waiting room. It was well furnished, well lit, you know, a couple of plants in there, but you could feel the tension in the air. You cut it with a knife. It was just a rough place. And for me, what I would do on my break, my coffee break, I would just sit in that room and take it all in. And I learned a lot from the people sitting in there. And it has a lot to do with these verses right here. I'd see people in there that were trying to handle all this horribleness, all this terrifying news on their own. That was the bad part of the room. That's where the tension came from. There were other people who were so angry and upset that they were fighting in that room. Then at the other end of the room was a circle of Christians holding hands, heads down, praying.
What an image.
It was. It was wonderful to watch that group because they were yoked and they were going through the same exact thing that the other people in the room were going through. But they were going through it with Christ. Big difference. And lesson learned from that is we don't have superpowers. We don't have endless energy. You know, we talk about revival. We talk about refreshing. We talk about going away to pray at a retreat to rebuild and renew. That's good. But if that excludes you being yoked to Christ, you're kind of lost. Long ago, we talked about this, David, that Christians need to have an accountability partner.
Yeah.
And I think that men, if you're listening, women, you're great at it. Because you just meet each other and you talk it all out. Guys, you need an accountability partner out there because sometimes we drift. And we're no longer yoked. We take the yoke off and we run out there like a John Wayne hero. We're going to do it on our own.
Yep.
And that's just maybe the male essence, you know, going out and slaying the lions and the tigers and the bears so our wife doesn't get hurt. And
well, it's consistent with our human nature as men.
Yeah.
We are doers. We're fixers.
Sure.
You know, and if you go back to the old days when the men were out hunting and, you know, the women were taking care of the village and the kids and cooking and making clothes, whatever the women did. And you know, that's not a sexist thing because there's a lot of historical data to talk about
that
defined roles.
That's the roles that we played.
And essential nature, no matter what age you're in, today's age is, you know, depending on what angle you're looking at, it's kind of wacky. But still, it gets right down to biology, hasn't changed. Even if people's attitudes about it seem to, that you still have men and women, we still have uniqueness about who we are. And for guys, that's been my biggest single difficulty has been, you know, to throttle back on the being the doer and the fixer, when what Jesus really wants is for me to come alongside him, get some rest, pray, just be with him intimately, and let him fill me with, you know, his love and his guidance. And then, he'll tell me what to do.
Yes.
There'll be a role for me to perform.
In particular, I need Jesus when I take my toolbox out, and my wife gets very nervous when I go to fix something. I'm sure she's praying, Jesus, help him out. He doesn't know what he's doing.
I think I told you as a jokingly that I don't do plumbing real well, and that jokingly I would say that every Home Depot and Lowe's in town had a picture of me at the cash register with a little cut line that said, do not sell plumbing to this man.
It's very dangerous.
Very dangerous.
You know, there's another way of looking at this from another direction, and that's the people that Jesus were speaking to. I think that they were weary from the religious labor and the burdens that they carried for that. And we could learn a lot about that because the message from Christ is simple, pure, and beautiful. And sometimes religion can be a burden.
Oh, absolutely can.
It gets in the way. And I said this in church before, and I probably will get in trouble for it again by saying it on the air. But my dear friends, if your religion is front and foremost important to you to the point where it gets between you and God, you need to have a serious talk with God about this.
Mm-hmm.
Because that Jesus never missed an opportunity to take on the Pharisees.
As well he should have, because the spirit of religion had really grabbed the leadership
right
there. And it was, you know, kind of boring. I mean, and people, you know, if your best reason for going to church, if you will, is to out of a sense of duty, well, I've got to do this at least for an hour a week.
Right.
You know, well, you know, Jesus is calling you to have a bit different attitude about that.
Coming to be fed.
Coming to be fed, yeah. We are hungry. We're going to get fed somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't recognize that the church is a place that God has set up for us, Jesus is his body. We come together and the Spirit feeds us. Now, it may be that the Spirit of God may not be invited to your church. I don't know.
Mm.
And that's a question to ask, you know, and ask God. And maybe, you know, and if you're not feeling anything happening,
maybe you need to move down the street to another church so you find one where the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart.
Amen. Or the other side of that coin is to ask the Lord, say, what do I need to say to my pastor?
Mm.
Maybe my pastor needs, you know, myself and several other people to express, you know, a desire to, you know, where's God in all this? You know, and some people are hearing this and saying, I don't have the courage to do that. I'd get thrown out of the church. Well, maybe that's a, I hope you don't get thrown out of your church, but hey, if that happens, there are other churches.
David,
God will lead you to one.
This is going to be playing on the weekend of Memorial Day.
Yes, this coming Sunday.
That's right.
It is, which is Pentecost Sunday.
My dear friends.
In many places.
There are veterans who came home having seen their friends die, having had to push buttons or pull triggers and do some killing that they probably didn't want to do.
Yeah.
And when they come home, and I've seen this in my own family, they're more than weary and heavily burdened. They're haunted by their memory. Mm. And they also, because we know what the enemy does, he goes for your weak spot.
Yeah.
They're being told that they're not worthy to come to church. They're not worthy to hear the word. And in this case, they're not worthy to be yoked with Christ because look what they did.
Yeah.
And my dear friends, perhaps all they need is a friendly invitation to worship together.
Yes.
They're in the periphery. They're out there. And they did what some people can't even imagine doing to protect this country and this Constitution. And yet they're on the outs. My father was one of them, and I had a cousin who was one of them. And when someone finally invited them in, saying, the war is over, you know, come in. God's waiting for you in here. They need that. So if you have someone in your family who's been in the trenches, been in the wars, been in all the police actions, if you want to call it that, reach out to them. Invite them to your church. If they won't come, invite them to your home.
Yeah.
Talk to them. Let them know that God has got his hands straight out, waiting to just pull them into his arms and give them some love.
You know, that you touch on an issue, and it's certainly relevant every day of the year, but particularly on Memorial Day or Veterans Day, as we're coming up on Memorial Day.
Right.
And I was reminded of when I was a hospice chaplain, I met a 90-year-old patient who was, he was in a nursing home, and was in the Army in World War II in the European theater.
Okay.
And in fact, he was part of the group that was actually marching toward Berlin, you know.
Wow.
And he was responsible for killing a lot of people, you know. And I'm mentioning this story because it's Memorial Day, and many of you might be talking to people who have been in a war, certainly been, it's one degree or another, involved with the deaths of their enemy. And many people carry the guilt of that with them, even though they don't talk about it, and may have a hard time bringing it out from them. But this particular gentleman, and early on in our relationship, and we were like a year and a half.
That's a long time.
Together. I mean, in fact, I retired before he died, you know, but he was on his way slowly, because partly because of his age. But the early on, he was open enough to say to me, Pastor, he said, I just can't stop feeling guilty for all the men that I killed in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And many Christians, there's a disconnect here between in the commandment, thou shalt not kill. The word is really murder, not kill.
Mm-hmm.
Because murder is a willful and wanton taking of someone else's life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not out of self-defense or out of national defense. It's particularly, it's a sin. Whatever you've done, I don't like it. You upset me. You did this, you did that. And my response is to take your life, and I'm going to do it.
Right.
See, that's murder. But the from the Hebrew, in the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, the particular commandment says, thou shalt not murder. Okay?
Big difference.
But in war, you there are people that die, obviously,
mm-hmm.
even though the intent, literally, you're not going out to kill people. You're going out to inflict enough damage on the enemy so that they will not be able to accomplish their task. Unfortunately, a lot of that damage means death. But he was carrying this burden of believing he had violated one of the commandments because he had been responsible for the deaths of so many men. And so I told him, I made the distinction for him. And I'll tell you, brother.
Did the light go off over his head?
He wept. He was able to, you know, let go of that guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Because he didn't need to carry it, and the devil had held it against him.
That's what he does.
All for decades, brother.
Yeah.
Because he was in his 20s when he went. He was 90.
70 years of guilt.
Of guilt. And, you know, he went to church and all that, but he couldn't believe God would love him or forgive him because of that. So when he recognized that on that particular issue, that he didn't murder. He had to kill, save it, you know, kill or be killed.
Mm-hmm.
That this was important. And in war, you have to do that. And now someone hearing may disagree with me, and you're welcome to disagree with me, but you're wrong because the scriptures deal with this.
Well, David, I'm glad you brought that up because, gentlemen, if you're driving around out there, wherever you are, and you hear this, you're holding on to something that you don't have to hold on to. I don't say that flippantly. I'm just saying that there's an alternative.
Yeah.
And you can't completely enjoy your life holding on to stuff like that. And a lot of people hold on to old sin and things like that, but this is a big deal. I witnessed this with my own father. He was never completely joyful, completely happy, completely fulfilled because he had this 700-pound gorilla in his chest that was always there. And it affects everything, relationships,
it does.
Everything.
And some of it's tied in with, you know, talk about being weary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is one of the big things Jesus is into is forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we celebrate the fact that his death on the cross made it possible for the first time since Adam sinned for us to be forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
And to
without going out and killing pigeons or offering a sacrifice.
Right, exactly. God's mercy,
mm-hmm.
you know, on the cross we see the shed blood of Jesus, and to claim the blood of Jesus onto our own lives, to be forgiving people as well as seeking forgiveness.
Right.
Both of those things are critical. And to then be, you know, some of our weariness comes from dragging all that stuff around behind us.
It's the human nature, I think, to hold on to things like that. It's that giving up, giving out, mm-hmm. opening up. I always tease people and say, you know, I'm very shy. And they laugh at me because, folks, I don't come across as shy. But
no, you know,
I am reserved in certain circumstances of sharing. I hold on to things. I probably shouldn't do that, but I do. I'm human.
I think sometimes maybe we don't need to say certain things.
Yeah.
You know, but other times, in certain circumstances, the Lord wants us to let go of.
Mm-hmm.
And when we can talk about something
right.
in an appropriate environment, you know, especially with people we trust, mm-hmm. like you and I, we're brothers.
We talk about everything.
We talk about a lot of stuff, mm-hmm. and you know, sometimes we laugh afterwards, but sometimes, you know, we need to unload it.
Yeah.
And
that's that accountability partner.
Accountability again. Partner, and let go of that because it drags us down. If you are weary today, and you know it's not because you're not getting enough sleep, but it's probably not a physical thing, although it's manifested in your physical life.
Right.
You feel tired. But maybe it's a spiritual weariness, and it probably is. And God, you know, has a cure for that. And Jesus says, as my brother read at the beginning of the program, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. That's spiritual labor, spiritual weight. Mm-hmm. And I will give you rest.
There
it's
it
a
is.
Promise. Jesus
right
wouldn't
there.
Dangle it in front of you and then take it away.
Mm-hmm.
He means what he says. This might be a good invitation. We're running out of time, but say to people, you know, maybe this, if this touched you, if this either excited you or got you angry, either way, get on your knees and ask Jesus what your response means.
Mm-hmm.
Have him show you what he means when he says, you know, to come to me, give me your burden.
And he will.
And he will.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll lift it. The interesting thing, though, Barry, is that we're like doing this on the installment plan as human beings. You know, I'll get released, you know, and then sometime later, because I'm human and I, you know, I sin and then I'm convicted of it and I have to repent, you know. But when I'm repenting, it's also good to remember that I have to go and say, Lord, you know, this sin has made me weary.
And also the burdens of the day will distract you. The
yeah.
noise, the chaos, the check engine light, whatever it is that comes on that yeah. causes that little hiccup in your heart, just know that
yeah.
Jesus is with you.
And it's like every time, you know, maybe you think, I've got to do something about this. Well, maybe you will end up doing something about it.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not earth-shattering or something really of the moment, give it to Jesus. Go to him in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Just say, Jesus, what do I need to do? What do you want to do about this circumstance? And give it to him, let him minister to you. That's what he wants to do. And those of us that by and large have more peace in our lives and we're not as weary, that's the reason.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Love
well,
it.
You know, here it is. I'm looking at the timer. I'm sorry to say for tonight or today, this morning, whatever time you're listening, we have to go.
Oh, do we?
I know.
Wow.
Golly gee. But it's been fun.
It's been fun and informative and provocative.
All of that.
Good night, Tom.
Good night, Tom. And good and to everybody else, thanks for listening. And
God
we'll
bless.
Catch you next week.
Amen. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word.
That we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
Savior face to face. Close, we're getting close. Our joy is rising higher with each step we take. Forward on to Jesus. We are the people of the cross. We choose Christ and count all else as lost. We won't be shaken, hope won't be taken. We are the people of the cross. Grace, if not for grace, we would be lost without the promise that you gave. Praise.